Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It is such a delight to see all of the faces of the people who are here present in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. And happy Father's Day to all fathers out there. For some of us, it's a difficult day. I know I miss my father so much, but for those of you who still have fathers on this earth, remember them, be good to them. We have some announcements. First of all, for our food pantry tomorrow, our volunteers are Buck Gilbert and Dean Knauer. On Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here, we have Bible study. We are studying the women of the Bible, and we invite you to come and join us. We've been having a really good time with this Bible study, haven't we? Also, on Wednesday at 11:30 a.m., the Lunch Bunch is going to be meeting over at the breadboard. Do we have any other announcements? And I would ask you to keep in prayer the family of Helen Strait, who died last week. Today we are using Chosen People, so you should have this booklet in the pew in front of you. And so let's begin with the invocation song, We Are Gathered Here. Let's join together in our confession. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant your son. Sometimes I hate, sometimes I lie, sometimes I waste, sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant your son.
Every day.
Because we are chosen by God to receive the gift of forgiveness. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen to be part of your family, to follow in the footsteps that Jesus walked. And though the road may be difficult, help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit holding us forever in your family. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is from the 65th chapter of Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with the broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." There are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, "I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together," says the Lord. "Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me in the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, 'Do not destroy it, for there is blessing in it,' so I will do for my servants' sake, and I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah inheritors of my mountains. And my chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 22 responsively. "But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of the wild bulls you have rescued me.
I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of the assembly I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All of you, Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in the awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
The second reading is from the third chapter of Galatians. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus and his disciples arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on the land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward for the children's chat? If not, all of you are my children. So, because I brought something today. In honor of Father's Day, I have brought a picture. I'm going to show it to all of you. Probably looks like something many of you have on your walls. Old time photograph of a group of people. Not too exciting, maybe. Now, why am I showing you this picture? Who are these people? At one time they were.
Are you in that picture? The middle and the front?
That's really interesting for you to say.
Or is that your mom?
No. This is my dad's family. All of them. This is my dad and his brothers and sisters. There were 12 of them. So which one do you think is my dad? I'll let you guess later. I'll put this up and let you guess. So yes, my dad was one of 12 children. His mother was 14 years old when she got married. She married a man who was almost twice her age. He was 13 years older than she. So she had her first child when she was 15 and continued to have children for a very long time, as you can see. And you think back to that, because that 14-year-old and that older man got married and had all of these children, there are so many more of us today. And yeah, I do look a lot like my aunt. The one you're pointing out is my Aunt Annie. Her name was Anne, called Annie, yes. So I've been told I look a lot like my dad's family. Somehow they divided us up when we were little kids. Did they do that to you, trying to figure out which of your parents you resembled? Yeah, they divided us so that my brother John and I were the Knightons, and the rest of them were the Keoghs, because they look like my mother's family. And people have probably done that with you, asking who you resemble. We are now in the green of ordinary time. During this time, we're going to be hearing a lot of stories about Jesus. And when we hear these stories, the stories always point to the one that he resembles, his Father, the one who sent him. So think about that on this Father's Day. And later come up and guess which one is my dad. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went on his way, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus has crossed the Sea of Galilee and entered into Gentile territory, the land of the Gerasenes. Jesus shows his power over evil, demonstrating that nothing, not even demonic forces, can stand in the way of his ability to restore a person to health and community. And even when a community rejects him, he leaves someone as a witness to remind them of what he has done and what he is capable of doing. Just before our passage today, Jesus demonstrated his power to the disciples. As they were crossing the Sea of Galilee to get over to the territory of the Gerasenes, Jesus fell asleep in the boat. A violent windstorm came upon the lake, and the boat was filling with water. The disciples woke Jesus up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and all became calm. And Jesus asked them, "Where is your faith?" And they asked each other, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And as he stepped out onto the land, they were approached by a man possessed by demons. Imagine the setting, a place of uncleanliness, a place of tombs and swine and demons. And here comes a man who has not worn clothing in a long time, who does not live in a house but in the tombs. He is clearly not in his right mind. He has unnatural strength, able to break the chains and shackles that the people of the city use to try to restrain him. And perhaps his wrists and his ankles still bear the mark of these restraints. Jesus calls the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and a spirit responds in the man's voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." And Jesus asks for the man's name, and the demons, speaking through him, answer, "Legion," a term that refers to a Roman battle force of 4,000 to 6,000 men. A vast number of demons possess this man. This is a man ostracized from his community, which is unable to contain and control him. He lives in a place of death. His human dignity is gone. His ties to the community are gone. Even his name is gone. The demons beg Jesus not to send them back into the abyss, but to be allowed to enter the large herd of swine feeding nearby. And Jesus gives them permission to enter the swine. And the demons come out of the man, enter the swine, and the swine enter into the lake and were drowned. Can you imagine that scene? The swine herds ran into the surrounding community, and people rushed to see what had happened. And they saw an astonishing sight. Not only the dead pigs, but the man from whom the demons had gone, now dressed and in his right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus in the posture of a disciple. And their response? Not joy at the healing of the man, but fear at the presence of the divine, and probably fear at what else Jesus might do. And so they ask Jesus to leave. And the man who's been healed begs to leave with Jesus. But Jesus tells him to go home and declare how much God has done for him. And the man does just that, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus has done for him. We hear in this passage the power of Jesus, where not even a legion of demons can keep him from restoring a person to health and community. We know that Jesus is ultimately victorious over death itself, with the power to bring life from death. This is good news for all people who are willing to listen and accept that message of grace, mercy, and restoration. And the disciples, seeing this, probably asked one another, "Who is this that even the demons obey him?" Remember these words from our first lesson from Isaiah. "I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me." The only ones who knew that Jesus was worth coming were the demons, who did not ask for him to come. The demons know who Jesus is and what he can do. The man who was healed neither sought out Jesus nor asked for healing, nor does it seem that it was even possible for him to do such. Yet he was found and healed. The Gentiles of the community neither sought out Jesus nor wanted what he offered. And although the man who was healed asked to stay with Jesus, Jesus tells him to remain to testify about all that God has done for him, foreshadowing the ministry to the Gentiles that we read about in the book of Acts. Tomorrow, this country celebrates the newest federal holiday, established only last year, Juneteenth. It marks the anniversary of the day that the news of the Emancipation Proclamation reached the people of Galveston, Texas. President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, 1863, freeing the enslaved people in the states that had seceded and joined the Confederacy. But enforcement of the proclamation generally relied upon the advancement of Union troops. Even after Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia in April 1865, and the Civil War finally ended, slavery remained relatively unaffected in Texas. Enforcement of the Emancipation Proclamation, as I said, relied upon the advance of Union troops, and Texas had a low presence of Union troops as the Civil War came to an end. On June 19, 1865, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued, the enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, finally learned that they were free. On that date, U.S. General Gordon Granger stood on Texas soil and read General Orders No. 3. "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free." But emancipation did not happen immediately for the 250,000 enslaved people in Texas. In some cases, slaveholders withheld this information until after the harvest season. In December of that year, slavery in the United States was finally abolished with the adoption of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. Think of those enslaved people in Texas finally learning that the freedom that they had yearned for was theirs. And think of their masters learning that these people who had been their property no longer belonged to them. Think of the rejoicing of those who were no longer bound in the shackles of chattel slavery. Think of the spirituals that arose from the people who finally had tasted freedom and never wanted to return to slavery. Those spirituals contained stirring words like these: "Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me. And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free." Or this one, used by Martin Luther King Jr. in his "I Have a Dream" speech: "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." Think of the Gerasene man who tasted the freedom of healing and wholeness. Freed at last from the demons that kept him in bondage. Freed at last from the chains of evil. Freed at last to go into the world, to be part of community, to witness to all that God had done for him. The man who was healed had been in bondage by demonic forces, forces that caused him to live as no human being should live. Those in the Gerasene community who rejected Jesus were held in bondage by their own fear. Those who finally learned on Juneteenth that the Emancipation Proclamation had been held in bondage by the evils of chattel slavery. In our world today, people are still held in bondage, the bondage of sin and evil. They need to hear of the emancipation brought about by Jesus, that their chains are broken, that their shackles are released. Let us proclaim what God has done for us. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Amen. Let us sing together our song of the day. We are a chosen people of God. Statement of faith that you will find on page 6 of the booklet. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. And let us join in our offering song. Everybody's got something to offer.
Everybody's got something to offer. Young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer. In the the name of the Lord. To the lost and the lonely ones, the message is clear. We have all got a gift to give, our hands, our hearts, our tears. Everybody's got something to offer, young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord. To the believers gathered here, the message is true. We have all got a gift to give in all we say and do. Everybody's got something to offer, young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord. The Spirit intercedes for us. Sighs too deep for words to express alone. The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express alone.
United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. Holy God, you hear the cries of those who seek you. Equip your Church with evangelists who reveal the continuous call of your outstretched hands and your promises of a home in you. God of grace, hear our prayer. You hear the cries of the earth. Restore places where land, air, and waterways have been harmed. Guide us to develop and implement sources of energy and food production that do not destroy the earth. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You hear the cries of those who are marginalized or cast out. On this Juneteenth observance, guide us continually toward the end of oppression in all its forms, especially white supremacy. Bring true freedom and human flourishing to all your beloved children. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You hear the cries of those who suffer. Come to the aid of all who are homeless, naked, hungry, and sick, especially those listed on our prayer chain and those whose names we offer aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Bring peace to any experiencing mental illness that they can clearly recognize your loving presence. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You hear the cries of those who celebrate and those who grieve on this Father's Day. Nurture mutual love and tender care in all relationships. Comfort those for whom this day brings sadness or longing. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the faithful departed, whose lives proclaim all you have done for them, especially Helen and those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. At the last, unite us with them as we make our home in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping.
Amen.
Whose body? Whose body? Whose body? in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Called into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
All are invited to join us for communion. You will see in the trays the darker colored liquid. Please stand as you are able to receive the blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. Go now and live as the chosen people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us join our closing song, We Can Make a Difference.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, so we've got some.